When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this video.
It's Roxy.
Yeah.
Roxy.
Yeah, that is me.
Any parting words for the people
before
we head
out there? Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I moved 3,000 miles away from Boston to avoid the snow, and now I'm actively diving into it. We'll see how that goes.
This is going to be good for you. This is going to be good for the both of us.
Trauma bonding.
I'm excited.
Let's go.
Let's do this thing.
I have to triple check that this movie is based on.
Yeah, absolutely. And while you do that, I will quickly encourage our dear viewers to leave a rating on Apple or Spotify if you happen to be listening to the audio version of this, if you're about to listen to our review for Society of Snow. And hey, quick thank you to the folks who made this video possible.
Yeah, so it says Society of Snow is a 2023 survival drama film based on Pablo Virasi's 2009 book of the same name, which details the true story of the rugby team's experience after the Air Force flight crashed in the Andes Mountains.
That is incredible. That is insane. I mean, yeah, I would have been surprised if
this wasn't a true story. Just, you know, in America, yeah. It's always based on.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking of one of my favorite survival movies, which is The Gray. And I know that I don't know if that was even pitched as being based on a true story. But that's one of those movies where you're like, I could see this not being like a true story, even though it is depicting like the survival against the elements. Whereas here, yeah, the whole time, or at least I was certainly permeated with a sense that this is shooting for an authenticity and for, you know, the capturing of a real experience.
Right. In your
which it is anyway, because this has happened to people anyway. But like, yeah, it seemed like these people, and especially superimposing all their names and ages, seemed very intentional for... Yeah, representing the truth.
I agree with that completely. And then also,
I would almost feel weird if that was just a stylistic thing, you know?
Yeah. I think the only reason, too, that this movie was even bearable to watch is that it felt like there was going to be survivors of this story, which is why it was able to be told. Like, even if it was just one person, it felt like, and I thought it was going to be Numa for a while, but it felt like that there was going to be people who made it out of this because of how appropriately the story was told and like how detailed.
Yeah.
There's just so many moments that made me feel like, okay, I know that somebody makes it through this somehow. Wow. That movie was just unbelievably well shot.
Yeah.
Just what an incredible story. And it's stories like this. Like, I don't know if you feel this way, but it's like, how have I never heard of this?
Yeah, a little bit. And I wonder if maybe I have, and I just didn't, you know, until you are exposed to the deep dive into the story, you know. So, you know, it doesn't take on quite the same personal impact that, like, now I'm never going to forget that this happened.
Right.
It's like, I'm sure if anybody, and then, hey, if you happen to have been watching this and you were around, you know, when this was in the news, or if it was in the news, wherever you are in the world, like, please let us know what it was like maybe at the time to be aware of this happening. Cause, yeah, and like, in the moment, I bet a lot of people across the world were hearing about this.
I wonder if the author, you don't think the author is one of the people, do you?
I mean, double check. I'd be fascinated to know. I guess my guess would be maybe no, but you know, it's one of those, it's just so well made and really affecting. And like I said, there are a lot of great, you know, survivalist movies, man versus the elements movies, man versus man versus the elements movies.
Says that he grew up with many of the people who were part of it. So,
okay. Yeah. That
he grew up with many of the people who were involved in the 72 crash in the Andes Mountain and worked with the survivors on his 2009 nonfiction book. by the same name.
Yeah, and I mean, it certainly feel like it would have to be, but it certainly feels like something that was informed by,
of course,
the nuances of the real experience. And I was not pleased is the wrong word, but like early on into the movie, because you have all I knew sort of was, I didn't really know much of anything going into this, but when you get the sense that like, okay, so this plane's probably going to go down, they're probably going to be stranded, you know, there's a expectation, I think, especially having a bunch of young people together, like, oh, this is going to turn into the Lord of the Flies quick. And like, there are things that are confronted that are similar, but it never felt like, I don't know, it just didn't feel like a blockbuster movie or a Hollywoodized version, in that like all the struggle and all the harshness is always just kind of the circumstance, and you still get to watch everybody grapple with it and confront it and bargain with it. But it never really dipped into like melodrama of like, oh man, this one guy's going crazy and, you know, yeah, gotta subdue him and all sorts of, and not to slight movies that have done that or stories that involve that. But yeah, it's like the way that they played out a bunch of conclusions you could probably make. It's like in the way they played them was really part of what was striking to me, I guess, because yeah, it's like you know, in any sort of survival stranded situation, survivalism, I don't feel articulate today.
No, in any situation, just watch something so difficult, man.
Yeah, it's like I'm in a daze.
Yeah.
And it's like anything that forces you into a mode of survival where you're stranded and you only have what's immediately with you, you know, like instincts are going to kick in and there are going to be all sorts of things that you find out and learn about yourself that you didn't know before. And it was just so fascinating to watch them care for each other. And it's not like there's no conflict between them. It's not like they're always agreeing with each other, but it really seemed like they were always kind of mindful of the group and always trying to kind of confront the reality of what's going on, but also clinging to the little scraps of, you know, shared humanity that create those little moments of levity, you know, between everything.
Yeah, completely. I think that there was something really cool about watching them be the best versions of themselves in the most horrific circumstances, because we do see a lot of times, like you say, people turn bad, there's a villain. And I think that, I know that this is such a weird leap, but there's a huge value in team sports.
Sure.
And the fact that they come from rugby, and we see that, and then we see that the beginning scene with the kind of the selfishness, you didn't pass it, you know, and like learning when to be the leader, when to be take a back seat, like all the way that I feel like the rugby team kind of set them up for like looking after one another and teamwork, because you can't get through this alone, and learning to communicate. And, you know, we see them like starting off kind of joshing in the shower room and like giving each other crap. And then when you have to rely on people, when you have that skill set, because you come from a really difficult sport, and like even the guy's legs become a factor. Like, you're the one with the strongest legs, you got to go on the walk. They know each other's skill sets. They know who has what mind and whatnot. Yeah. Not that every person there was a player on the team, but you know what I mean? I think that was, and obviously this is not, of course it's scripted, but it's not scripted in the way where that's real. But I do think that is part of why they were able to survive, because the rugby team kind of instilled values in them, maybe.
Yeah, well, because they know each other, and they probably have built the bond over the course of being a team, and they have a certain level of intimacy and familiarity and a sense of how to work as a unit. And then you throw these circumstances in to where, like, you know, it's not a one-to-one. It's not like everybody.
Right.
It's not like the hierarchy of the team remains the same in the circumstances. But yeah, it's like there's already that sense memory of us all working together towards a common goal in the very nature of what we do and what we took this trip to do. And I liked it. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That's a great point, though, because we start off we're going on a rugby trip, so we start off in a rugby game, and then, to see this, you know, from one of the harsher sports to one of the harshest circumstances imaginable.
Right.
You know, just to kind of give some nice little, like, funny, not funny, but, like, there's a kind of an interesting irony to that. It's like, I always feel like rugby is often you know, it just has a reputation for being like a rough and tumble sport that you got to have a kind of thick skin to play. And then, you know, this is the kind of thing that not everybody could play that sport, and not everybody clearly could survive weather a situation like this.
I hope that somebody in the comments can talk to me about the lack of fire. Like, I'm going to do some research after this on why, because it's the one thing we never saw them do. They made the radio. They were able to, like, go get the battery. They figured out the food for survival, the snow to get the water. And this is so random. I don't know if you know that I was a Girl Scout for my whole life. I'm big into camping and survivalist things.
And cookies.
And, of course, with the snow, it would be difficult. But I am curious. We never saw them take the suitcases, burn them, try to make fire. Like, we just see them use the little flame. And there's got to be reason for that. Something that I don't understand about this environment, right? Because otherwise, I think we would have seen them make a big ass fire at some point.
I am curious about that too. And I guess my best guess would be that maybe it behooves you to make friends with the cold because you can't have fire for the whole time, and you're going to burn through probably resources that might be useful elsewhere.
But in your first few days, you're not thinking, I'm going to be here 71 days. You're thinking, okay, how do I survive this week? Right?
Yeah, that's a fair point too. Yeah, I'm curious about that. And I don't know if it's maybe the conditions.
The wind.
They could still light the lighters. Yeah. So I would have to imagine that if they just lit something on fire, it would work. The cigarettes had no trouble lighting. So yeah, it's a good question.
That's such a weird, and it's not even a nitpick, because I'm sure this is coming from the survivor. So I'm sure there was something going on. I just am curious because we never did address it. And I was like, huh. Make fire. And then it's so weird throughout the whole film, I'm suggesting what they should do. Like,
stop climbing. Cook that meat. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, I did actually wonder about that too. Like what the, you would think that meat needed to be cooked in order to not hurt you. I would think, because like poultry,
it depends, but yeah. And especially meat. Because it looks like poultry. It's like the meat you should eat raw the least.
That was some white meat. Yeah. That, you know, and I'm wondering if that, like, if because it was frozen, that helps as opposed to cooked, because you can eat frozen things, or what, or how exactly they had to do that. Maybe they just decided to cut it for timing purposes, but
yeah, I don't know. And I know your body can get used to and do amazing things when desperate, yeah, and deprived. Certainly.
The urine was wild to see too.
Yeah.
There's so many details like that with the belt and the urine and the things that, like, we're watching them go through as they're drastically losing weight, the sores on their backs, the bloodshot of the eyes, you know, that they just, I feel like the effects, the hair and makeup team, the costumes, everything as it developed, and the having to keep the continuity of this must have been an absolute nightmare. Especially for wardrobe, like, every dynamic, like the performances we already talked about were just flawless across the board, but it was like
everybody gripped me.
Everyone did their job here. The music, the hair, makeup, the costume, the cinematography, which
incredible.
We were both like blown away by. I can't believe you knew that. They thought they were going to be like, it's beautiful.
Well, because that's so much of the movie had me thinking that is like, you're constantly in this contrast of like, look at how beautiful and majestic these mountain ranges are, and you know how lovely the sunlight looks cresting over this peak here, and oh, look at this lens flare, but also beautiful as this is probably the worst place to be trapped. And like, that's, I think that plays into the theme of kind of like, what's the meaning of all this? Like, why did this happen? You know, it's just a random senseless thing. And
they talk about that so much too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, this place is so beautiful, and it's not like a one-to-one to that point, but it is one of those things where I'm like, yeah. And we're stranded in a place that, to look at it from the outside, to just fly over it and behold it from above, is, you know, one of Earth's majesties, you know, is one of like the beautiful things about being alive. And yet,
yeah, you'll never get that view again.
Also, yeah, well, yeah. And you'll never look at a place like that without the knowledge intimately of what it's like to live there. And so, and yeah, they just really, like, I felt the cold. I felt the dampness of my fingers. Like, anytime you've ever been out in the snow, you know, past the point of comfort, times a trillion times more than that, because like, yeah, you could just never fathom what this is like until you're actually in the situation.
Imagine being that man on that horse. Like, you could have left your house 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after. You know, you could have been two ships passing in the night.
I know, like the amount of little circumstances and the fact that they made
that walk.
That's
why they called it a miracle, kind of, at that point. It's like, it's not a miracle because look at the horrible things that happened. But, like, the fact that you went and you, at the same time, you look up at the river, and I'm guessing that's probably how it went, pretty much.
I'm curious to learn more about the actual story, but I'm going to take this at face value for right now and assume that at least the broad strokes are as they appear here.
But imagine being that guy and seeing them. I mean, first of all, you'd probably be scared. Like, what are these?
Yeah, who are these people?
Yeah, people, like, and what are their intentions? Not knowing, because at least, I mean, this was the 70s, so people were a little more forgiving and kind then. Now it's like, I feel like everybody's like hex on everybody else. This is a different conversation for a different time. But anyway, I'm just glad he decided to help them. Like, imagine if they saw him and he was like,
if he thought they were a threat of some kind, or if he just decided like, I have this river between us and it's loud. Like, you know, I don't have to entertain any of this.
Yeah. Whatever you guys are doing.
That even out there, he throws in the rock with the paper and the pencil.
He must have heard the story probably right though about the crash. Like, and he knows he's in the Andes. He probably has some kind of a.
Maybe. I mean, like, he's far enough away that, yeah, it's like I wouldn't expect anybody to be like, oh, I might find these people.
Right.
Yeah, it's like he's certainly.
No, I don't think he was expecting it, but maybe it crosses his mind when he's throwing the paper. Like, who are you guys?
But yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, it's little things like that, too. And I think it does nicely to any of these stories are partly about people's perseverance, people's strength of will, people's strength of spirit. But also, I think they're just as much about random happenstance and just like the little things that come together in a situation so cursed with just like random bad luck, as they say. You know, what little pieces of good luck lead to the salvation?
Or miracles,
yeah.
The two monologues that we got, but that main one from that guy who's talking about like where he sees God and each of his friends, and that one really was like talking about those little moments, which was just unbelievable. That will stick with me.
Yeah, I thought this was really thoughtful because, again, like there's a lot you can do to be evocative in a man versus elements survival kind of story. That's easy to kind of hit people in a visceral place with. But I like that this was thoughtful. I like the way that this handled instead of just having people like go nuts and fight each other, you really do kind of sit in the psychology of like, okay, the early stages of faith when it's like, well, man, people got to be out there looking, right?
And then when they hear on the radio that they're done for the year.
Yeah. And even just like the sounds of like, oh man, is that a plane engine? You know, and just all these little things. And then, watching those ebb and flow to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, now we have to assume that we will be here indefinitely, maybe forever. Maybe we won't get out. Maybe we will die here. And I thought it made a great balance between the physical action, because, you know, we have to do something. We always have to do something, whether it means figuring out how to survive the night here, or once we figure that out, how to explore effectively to maybe get out. And when you get to that point where you're past all that, where you're past the society stuff, where like you have to rewrite the rules because that God, that thing he said, that's the God for the world we just left, you know, is the God I used
the
to
God
have
hears.
Faith in. And the God here is totally different.
Hello there, esteemed viewer of The Real Rejects. I, Greg Alba, language connoisseur and worldly gentleman, am here to bestow upon you the secrets of Babbel. Babbel is an engaging language learning app designed for real life conversations, offering quick 10-minute lessons tailored by linguistic experts to effectively teach you a new language. Its conversation-based approach, enhanced with speech recognition technology, makes Babbel worth trying for anyone looking to learn at their own pace, anytime, anywhere. My dear friends, in this age of monolingual mundanity. Babbel is our beacon of hope, crafted by an army of over 150 language experts. Their lessons are like linguistic caviar, rich, refined, and oh so satisfying. Personal tale of triumph. I once whispered sweet nothings in Spanish, or for the layman, Espanol, to my wife, courtesy of Babbel. Her reaction, well, I'll tell you, she was utterly bewitched. Greg, you silver-tongued devil. No paraphrase. She exclaimed such vocabulary as I bask in the glory of my perfect pronunciation. Because Babbel isn't just about learning words. It's about embracing the art of conversation with podcasts, live classes, and a veritable smorgasbord of interactive lessons.
I know the words I'm saying.
And their speech recognition? It's like having a personal language butler, ensuring every syllable
is impeccably crisp.
Now brace yourselves for an offer of monumental proportions. Here's a special
limited time
deal for our viewers and listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but again, only for our viewers, at babbel.com/rejects. 55% off at babbel.com/rejects. Spelled BABBEL.com/rejects.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Join me, the Greg Alban, the adventure of language mastery at Babbel. We shall not just learn
we shall conquer the world of communication.
Or as they say in Spanish, comunicación.
We're done with this ad.
This is interesting that they, one of the survivors passed in 2023, and he was able to show him, Jose, an early cut of it, and the 14 remaining survivors saw the film 1 or 2 months prior to the premiere.
Oh, wow.
So that means that...
What an experience that must be for them. I cannot imagine. I hope...
That they felt positively about it and proud.
Part of me is like, I hope you never have to think about this again. Yeah. Part of me is like, I would love to hear their thoughts on the movie.
Though.
Well, yeah, how could you escape it? And so, yeah, like I like the way that they just drew the humanity, drew the questions about faith, about ethics, about the morality and the almost spirituality of offering up the body, using all the parts, you know, like giving of the people who have passed to the group, and the things that, yeah, might be unconscionable to imagine. And like, you know, Numa holds out and eventually is just like, you know, I get it that this is wrong, but we're in a totally different place, a totally different circumstance. And like, if any of us are going to get out, we all need to be strong. We all need to make this sacrifice. You have to eat something. Like, just the way it realized all those things combined with the elements, you got avalanches coming in, you got,
oh
you
my
know,
God,
people
when
getting
the plane
sick.
Got buried.
Yeah.
That was brutal. Yeah. The unbelievable performances in this, like the guy, Numa, really reminded me, obviously, I kept saying Adam Driver, but Josh Hartnett as well. There was like, these guys seem like they are like veteran stars of the screen.
I mean,
I'm super curious what other things that they've done. It was like every one of them, truly this ensemble, if there's an award, you know, I saw they were in Venice Film Festival, they should have won Best Ensemble for every festival they were in.
This is truly, yeah, like an ensemble. As much as, yeah, there are like
the brothers,
people I remember in particular are standout characters. Like it really
Captain.
Does. And I think there is something being, you know, American viewers, English language viewers, watching something like this with actors we don't know in a language we don't speak fluently anyway, or I don't speak fluently. Mm-hmm. Like there is a kind of way in which that can, I think, just let the ensemble be what it is in a way that's really kind of beautiful, and that speaks, and it just accentuates all the performances here. And it's, yeah, there was not one person on the screen who pulled me out or who didn't feel like they were completely in the reality of, you know, the story anyway. I'm just really impressed, I guess, because too, like the amount of team building and the amount of work these actors must have had to do, like making any movie is a bonding experience and is a big undertaking and is, you know, kind of like leading an army. Many people have likened it to, but this seems like something where in a very, very particular way, a cast and by extension to some degree, the crew would have to probably go through a bit of a bonding trial by fire in making this and to get to those places where you can sell those emotions.
Where was this shot?
I mean, they said that part of it was shot at the actual crash site in the Andes.
Wow.
Photography took place in Sierra Nevada, Spain, Montevideo, Uruguay, Chile, and Argentina.
Including the actual crash site.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It took 138 shooting days.
138 shooting days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably for weather, a lot of it too. I mean,
yeah, and I mean, it looked authentic in terms of like, it didn't seem like they were shooting, at least in any kind of, you know, digital scenario. It looked like they were almost always, I'm sure stuff was sweetened, and the plane crash was so hard hitting. Like, and we've seen a lot of, you know, on screen plane crashes lately.
Yeah, it was like lost for a second. It felt unreal.
Yeah. And just like the way they showed that, just like the seats compacting and people getting stabbed by things and bones breaking, and just like, it's so visceral, and it calls on the aspects of J.A. Bayona's filmog that are more horror leaning. But again, this feels like a natural thing to do for somebody who knows how to do horror, but who also seems to have a good grip on emotionality and is thoughtful. It's like, I wouldn't necessarily want to see this movie in the hands of somebody who can't be thoughtful about it. And it's like, there's so much that's foreboding and scary and eerie, and that again calls upon those flourishes that a horror director might have in their bag. But also, like, yeah, the amount of just the way in which it really immersed you in the time and place, it made the setting kind of its own character, but also really just took the care to accentuate again the humanity of it all, and to really put you in the heavy moments and the light moments just as much. Like, I like that, even though you can kind of go like, oh, you know, I'm starting to worry because we're in a moment of levity, or we're in a moment where everybody's kind of forgetting for a moment, even those I was just so pulled into. And I feel like it would be easy to make a version of this movie that's mostly about the physical and that's effective, but I feel like this, at least here in the afterglow of the original first viewing experience, you know, has absolutely all that stuff, but it's also like left me in a reflective place right now, and really feeling again for all the people and the humanity, and the fact that, yeah, what they have gone through here changes you forever. And it's yeah, that surreal thing of like, we've been brought back, we are being hailed as heroes, but really for each and every one of us, we were there every moment, every day, every hour. So it's going to be this, I can't even imagine what it would be like to untangle a knot like this experience within your body, mind, and soul.
Of course.
And it really conveys that. And I think that it's a interesting choice and a conscientious choice to have Numa be the narrator, because I think there's something kind of interesting and poignant about having our eyeline be somebody who doesn't make it. And so even though
their voice,
even though this is comprised of the stories as accounted for by the survivors, it does feel kind of even a little bit beyond that too, in a way that I think is lovely. And again, just speaks to the spirit of the movie, because have such a prominent character who is such a huge instrumental part of them getting out, who is kind of like alive with you in the fact that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you know, it's that God thing again of like, yeah, this work he put in, you know, and encouraging that he did toward everybody else, you know, kind of helps carry things through and gives you like Nando and you know, the other guy he's with, the good runner guy, like that gives them the boost. And watching everybody's mental states ebb and flow, and watching some people who you think might not be able to handle this at first rise to the occasion, and watching other people who start out stronger, you know, maybe just hit the wrong sequence of events or whatever. Again, it was really, really striking and really alive for how desolate it all is.
This, obviously, we talked a little bit about it being a festival movie, but it was on Netflix. I mean, one of the things I will say is that I think that does make it very accessible for people to watch, but I do think that this could have really been used to be seen on the big screen. Like, the way that it looked, I mean,
this, it's not one where I, not to be like, yeah, but
I know, I don't know how to phrase that better, but just like the cinematography in this was like just unbelievable.
The degree to which I was immersed here on a pretty nice sized TV, but here, you know, I can only imagine how much more overwhelming and visceral it would be on a big screen, because too, especially that one bit where it cuts to black and all you have is the sound for a little while of the snowpack and everything. And even those moments where you can hear, I liked, you see people eat and you see the aftermath of people being eaten, but I like that they didn't relish in that stuff. And there are times where, you can just hear it and it gets under your skin. And so those elements or the choice moments where they would do a hard cut to either, you know, something contrasting or to silence, or, you know, there were a lot of visceral editing moments too, where I feel like in a theater scenario with the whole thing enveloping you, you would be that much more sort of arrested in those moments. So it's like, as much as, again, this is harsh and harrowing, I hope before I die, I could maybe see this on a big screen because, yeah, and two, you know, even though this is a trauma that I'm sure so many people would want to forget, or at least the people involved would want to forget, like it does speak to something. It's weird. It's like there is more than a lot of survival movies, and I haven't seen every survival movie, but more than what I remember of the ones I've seen, this does have a greater sort of spiritual timbre to it, or something that makes me feel like I am exhausted in all the ways you are and should be after a story like this, but I am also like a little bit more, I don't know, along with that, I have a greater sort of appreciation for the good sides or the parts that are inspiring or the parts that are triumphant, even though, I mean, they don't overshadow, again, how harrowing and how tragic and how, you know, just insanely difficult on the human anatomy, mind, everything that this is. Like, there is something about the triumph toward the end that just feels a little more spiritually sound and earned than I'm used to feeling after. I don't even know how to put it in words.
I think that they started the thing by saying, is this like the biggest tragedy or a miracle? And that's kind of what you're expressing at the end.
It depends who you are.
Who you are and how you're looking at it. This is interesting, too, that the Pan's Labyrinth team is the one who did the corpses and wounds, creating prosthetics, which they... It like Ooh. Was everything looked unbelievable. It is so strange to talk about this because these were real people and that's really what happened. So it's like to be like, this looks incredible. It's like, it's really more about the story, but the team really did justice to the story. And I think that's why it did take so long. You know, that's 4.5 months they were in production. Mm-hmm. Says, and then they were in post-production for a really long time. They really did justice to the people, the survivors of this, and the people who passed too. I think
it really does feel that way. It doesn't feel exploitative to me. It does feel, I don't know. I mean, if I was in a situation like this, I again, not knowing the specific details of what the actual people went through, if I saw something like this realized, I mean, you know, I think it would certainly strike me. I think it would certainly be like, wow, you know, you certainly captured some level of the authenticity. Because again, they would have had some of those pictures to work off of. And we have tons of research scientifically about what happens in these situations. And it's still the movie magic. You know, it's the combination and the collision of all these departments. It's, yeah, it's the writing and the adaptation of the story. It's the direction of everything. You know, again, hats off to Jay Bayona. It's the cast, it's the music, it's the editing, it's the makeup, it's the locations, it's all that stuff. This really working in tandem.
That they previously made a movie in 1993 called Alive, starring Ethan Hawke, that was this story.
Really? Where are you seeing this?
Second from the top. The true story told in this film was previously made into the movies Alive, starring Ethan Hawke, and Survive.
Oh, wow.
Several documentaries. That I can't imagine that was as effective as this.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if there's a different version of this story you guys have seen and you're here at this point in the video.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know. I haven't heard of Survive with an exclamation point.
Or alive,
actually. But I mean, this certainly seems like the definitive version of the story. Apparently, according to the IMDb trivia, they filmed it in chronological order to allow the actors to steadily lose weight and accurately portray the effects of starvation. That too, man. Like you could tell.
Yeah, you could tell.
Especially Numa toward the end, like how gaunt, how you know, just his cheeks are so sunken by the end.
Yeah, you could really tell that.
And the director also said the particular attention was paid to the sound to reproduce the silence and the noises of the snow and high mountain, including conversations with specialized guides used to those climates. So, yeah, like it again, it's so many nuances because once you get out into the snow, you know, if you've ever been in the snow, you know, it's a very nuanced soundscape. And I thought that, again, I was frequently struck with the sound mix, not just the score music, but like the actual sounds they were going with and the way that they were bringing it to life, you know, at times with just sound. Yeah.
Right.
You can visit the crash site through an organized annual tour in February each year. Alpine Expeditions are and the organizers with an expert guide, Ricardo Pena, and they go back each year with one of the survivors, Eduardo Strauch. It takes 3 days and involves going by four-wheel drive, horse, and on foot. Altitude sickness is always a concern for anyone visiting the area. That is wild.
It is wild. I don't know. I hope he makes a ton of money doing that or something, or gets something out of that.
I mean, he must. There must be something in it for him. I guess that's one thing you do after an event like this.
Yeah.
The movie depicts the flight crashing on the same day it left Uruguay. In real life, the flight actually had to make an overnight stopover in Mendoza, Argentina, due to bad weather over the Andes. Argentinian law states that a foreign military craft is allowed on their soil for only 24 hours. So pilot had to either return to Uruguay or continue on to Chile. The next day, the pilots decided, and although the weather over the Andes was not perfect, it had improved enough to continue on to Chile. This leg of the trip led to the accident. That is also wild. I get why they maybe cut it for time. At the same time, I could imagine them including it and it being just as, you know, harsh and harrowing. Man, any extra stray thought? I feel like I feel like I'm dumping a word salad out.
No.
I feel like this is a good way to be left after a movie. You shouldn't know exactly. As much as we're in the market of needing to know exactly what you think and feel and what to say once the movie is done, this is one of those movies I very much appreciate when this happens, where I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need some time just to let this trickle through my system. I'm going to need to process and you know, I am confident in the thoughts we've laid out here. You know, certainly, I certainly know a good amount of how I feel, but some of it just feels like I won't have the right words to describe the experience until I've, you know, sat with it.
I hear you.
But yeah, this was a tour de force. This was really well done. And I'm impressed, especially, I mean, not to slag Netflix, obviously Netflix makes some good stuff, but like this, you know, feels like a real, you know, standout movie of the year, a real cinematic achievement of the year, and something that, I mean, yeah, Netflix has their prestige stuff. They also have a ton of stuff that, you know, they produce and then shove on the platform. And this certainly, if you didn't tell me that Netflix, like, you know, bankrolled this or whatever, I wouldn't have necessarily known. Like, this just felt like, you know.
Yeah.
A full-ass movie. And I'm excited to see some of his other stuff that's not Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I want to see a Monster Calls. I'll never forget The Orphanage. Saw that in the theater back in the day. But yeah. Anything else you want to say before we hit it?
Nope. Let's hit it, man.
Gang, thank you so much for joining us. Leave us your thoughts on this. This was quite an experience, and a terrific one at that. A harsh one, but it's
really unbelievable job.
Really incredible filmmaking. So yeah, leave us your thoughts and we will catch you next time. Much love for now. Just go find someone you love and hug them. Peace.